the Capital Region Harm Reduction Roundtable started off under the leadership of Keith Brown, a well-known harm reductionist and public health educator in the Capital Region. He's currently the interim public health director in Schenectady County. Keith started this roundtable in an effort to really incorporate more harm reduction principles throughout practices across all different types of service provision throughout the Capital Region, but also to create a very intentional space to talk about harm reduction in a very intentional, safe way so that we can share overdose spikes in different parts of the region with one another and really discuss different parts of harm reduction that we can apply into our professional world and our personal lives.
I feel like I want to take a step back and maybe have you define harm reduction, because I was watching the weekly TV news programs on Sunday morning, and one of the CNN commentators talked about applying harm reduction to the situation that Democrats find themselves in with their Republican colleagues in DC. And I had to do a double take, and I thought, wow, harm reduction is really being used in a variety of ways. Can you tell me what it means to you?
The term has been certainly overused in many ways, in the sense that harm reduction is not any time you reduce harm. It can apply to so many forms of reducing harm in that very literal meaning, but harm reduction ultimately, really, the traditional origins applies to what we're talking about when we speak about substance use treatment or substance use treatment disorders. Responding to people who are dependent on a number of substances, and the way that we respond in the public health sphere, as well as the social sphere and service provision sphere, to meeting people where they're at and providing different pathways and options and choices for people as well to be able to use safely. Harm reduction understands that a person is only going to end a habit of their own at the time that they feel that they are ready to stop doing that habit. It's out of respect that folks deserve the autonomy to use drugs. People deserve the autonomy to take actions that are not harming others, and harm reduction meets people where they are. And rather than demanding things like abstinence or other goals that the individual may not want whatsoever for themselves, instead looks at the behaviors an individual is engaging in and says, okay, what can we do? What information can we give you, or resources can we provide you with to help make sure that you're as safe as possible?
The roundtable held an event focused on microdosing. Can you tell our listeners what the event was about?
We hold this harm reduction roundtable once a month. Right now it's being held on Zoom on the third Thursday of every month at 6:30 p.m. This last Thursday, our main subject for the meeting was microdosing. What microdosing is and what the meeting really focused on is unpacking microdosing as a phenomena of drug use that has really caught on in terms of popularity as well as acceptance in the evidence-based research world. There's been a tremendous amount of research that has gone into therapeutic benefits of psychedelics over the last 50 plus years that thankfully we're finally being able to benefit from. Thankfully, we now have both anecdotal research as well as evidence-based research on people who have used small micro, quote unquote, micro amounts of different substances, primarily psilocybin, which is the psychoactive ingredient in what are known as psychedelic or magic mushrooms, LSD, also known as acid, or with MDMA, also known as Molly. Folks are taking small amounts of, for example, mushrooms or acid on a daily basis for an extended period of time, sometimes for a week, sometimes for multiple weeks on end, sometimes for a few months. We did instill within the meeting different educational practices and harm reduction tools for folks to use to microdose safely and to make sure that folks are being able to give themselves breaks when they can, just to give their brains some time to reset when it comes to neurotransmitters and neuroreceptors.
You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm speaking with Luke Grandis of the Capital Region Harm Reduction Roundtable. We're speaking about microdosing.
in this moment that we find ourselves in time right now. We now have more tools in our toolkit than ever before to start dealing with some of the traumas that especially my generation and many others who have lived through this pandemic, and Black people who have lived through the year 2020, and people who have lived through this pandemic and lost many people through this pandemic, that having microdosing as another tool to hopefully work towards healing, potentially with a therapist in a guided way, is one more tool that we have to help towards healing in a state where we are almost being perpetually traumatized.
Can you speak to people who are self-medicating by microdosing versus the maybe an increased acceptance of the use of psychedelics, psilocybin mushrooms, acid in approved psychotherapy settings?
So for folks that are microdosing and self-medicating with these drugs at home, the really crucial, vital, important parts that we want to make sure are intact there, and the reminder of where harm reduction comes in, is that we absolutely want to make sure that a person is able to have some gauge of the quantity that they are taking so that they know, first off, that they are microdosing, especially if it's someone who has never done this drug in its full dose before. It's vital that the microdose be established at a proper amount, the typical recommended amount for a beginning psilocybin microdose is around 0.25 grams versus the 3.5 grams that someone would take traditionally if they were seeking a full trip. In order to do it under the FDA approval process, one must first identify a rather progressive medical provider. Let's start there. And then the process would include the individual proving that they have tried nearly every other antidepressant and/or anti-anxiety medication on the market before the FDA would finally come through to actually ever finally prescribe someone with psilocybin that they could then take home that was pharmaceutically derived. And now those are a number of blocks, and for the reason of those barriers that exist, we instead see many people who are microdosing through self-medication and are doing this through the gray market or black market supply. And then some individuals are getting mushrooms and then putting them in a micro bullet and then packing gelatin capsules with small amounts of that, then broken down, basically psilocybin powder. And then those capsules can be broken out into doses, and then that person can therefore start their self-medication using those doses. Again, safe supply being the key here in terms of wanting to make sure that anyone who is setting themselves up for a trial regimen, that they know that they're doing this illegally, that they know that they're taking a chance in terms of how heavily this substance might hit them. But under the ideal settings where someone would be taking such a small amount of psilocybin, the idea behind microdosing, and one of the reasons I think it has grown in acceptance, is that it is not as scary to many people as the idea of seeing Alice in Wonderland like swirls and things like that versus someone who might just want to get the medical benefits out of this. And that really is the key goal behind microdosing, is to remove the quote unquote tripping aspect of the experience and to really derive the other psychoactive impacts that folks benefit from it, such as working through PTSD episodes, working through generalized anxiety, helping with depression long-term, whether it be acute or generalized. And so then when it comes to folks who are able to get FDA approval for this, you can obviously have much closer monitoring for someone's progress. You can adjust their dose more easily. We certainly want to continue to push towards a reality in which we see all drugs decriminalized, but especially to decriminalize psychedelics such as these and drugs such as these that we know people are getting therapeutic benefits from.
One of the tricky parts of doing real drug education with a harm reduction framework is that some people might look at this discussion, even the discussion that we're having, and say that we're promoting drug use that could be harmful to people. What would your response be to someone who might make that charge?
That absolutely is a reoccurring problem as a harm reductionist, providing harm reduction education. And that's unfortunately what's hurting a lot of people who would otherwise be alive right now, is the stigma and the shame and the idea that any education around this is enabling and endorsing drug use versus identifying and validating that humans deserve the autonomy to alter their state of mind if they choose to do so. And it is never my place or my presence or my intention to promote drug use, but it is my place and my intention to remind folks that this is part of human behavior that we cannot ignore. It's part of our society. Someone is either going to microdose or they're not. Some people might stumble upon more education and feel more comfortable microdosing, but they may have very well not been stumbled upon any of that information and then instead ended up taking a large amount of liquid acid and ended up in LSD psychosis because none of this education was ever shared. And so that's where the reduction in harm truly comes in, is in the identification and acknowledgement in that people are going to use drugs. This is a reality we know to be true. Saying otherwise does not refute it from existing. Nancy Reagan tried it. If it worked, we would not be in the situation we are in today when it comes to the overdose crisis and the polysubstance use across the board that we are seeing. And so I think it's just vital to keep in mind that education does not equal endorsement or promotion, but education equals safety.